Welcome everybody into the Benchwarmers Redemption here on Dragon Digital Radio. I am your host, Matt Trudell, and with me, like always,
Alex Baker. I don't have anything clever to say.
How are you doing today, Alex?
Doing good. I know you're happy. Your Jets won last
night.
You didn't stay up and watch the whole thing?
I stayed up to watch the whole thing.
Oh, you did.
I'm pretty mad about Thursday night because it could be 9:30, but I'm going to stay up to watch that whole thing as well. Excellent game. I almost turned it off.
It was like 3-0 in the first period, and it was like, okay, that's usually 3-0 is like the big insurmountable lead in hockey. So I was like, I'm watching a bit of the Caps game. I flipped over and it was tied 3-3.
Well, so they scored very early in the period, and then they had two goals in 18 seconds. Like, it was 4-on-4 hockey. They came down, scored a goal. Face off, came down, scored a goal. It was nuts. It was absolutely nuts. And then at the end of the second period, they took the 4-3 lead, gave up a very stupid interference call, just dumb. 4-4. Then we got on the power play, 5-4 game. And then it evolved into a 7-4, which was two empty net goals. So, I mean,
didn't matter.
Yeah. I frankly do not see how people could be watching the NBA playoffs right now when the NHL playoffs have been great.
No, I agree.
Now, I get it. Different fan base of who would want to watch hockey versus who would want to watch basketball. But for the people like Sebastian out there, like,
if you like variety, if you like interesting games, which I think most sports fans do, watch NHL, don't watch NBA.
The past two Jets games alone have been just so, even the game that they lost 4-4, goes to double overtime, lose 5-4 to the Predators on a very pretty goal. I mean,
the Knights Sharks series has been great.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it, the Jets game one and the Sharks game one weren't that great. The Jets game one was decent. It just ended up being a 4-1 victory. The 7-0 victory was crazy. That was
exciting to watch, like, that first period, because they were just like every second goal, 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 goal.
Yeah, it's nuts. So, you know, those have been two good series. The Caps Penn series has been pretty good, and Tampa Bay Boston's been pretty good so far. So, I mean, and you know, and you look at it, you know, second round of the NBA, NHL, you know, these first round of NHL was great. Second round's really good right now. But we've already seen a lot of lame basketball. We've also seen, I mean, you know, you knew Cleveland was going to get past Indiana, but I mean, it was a quote unquote good series because it won seven
Pacers
games.
Pacers did take them to the wire. They only won that last game by like 4 points.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, I know.
I don't like the NBA.
We know LeBron's going, you know, and then, you know, the Wizards completely failed. But let's start with the hockey. I'm getting ahead of myself. So Caps took a 2-1 lead on Pittsburgh last night. Shocking.
That last goal was
shocking.
Not the empty netter, but
the winner.
Yeah. Like, come on. You got to stop that, Murray.
Well, they didn't score an empty netter.
No, they didn't score an empty netter. Yeah. You're right. But he got it in his hand, and then he couldn't catch it, and then it just trickled into the net.
Yeah. I mean, there was a it was funny. After the Caps won the last game, right? After the Caps won game two, I was sitting here, and I was like, all right, they won't win another one, you know. The Penguins are going to go home. They're going to win. You know, they'll take both of those, and then the Caps will lose in front of their fan base in epic fashion.
Yeah. I'm still not convinced that they're going to win the series, though.
Oh, I don't think they're going to win the series. I will not be sold on them winning the series until they physically win the series. Like, how can you have faith in them? You know, it's like, just because Maryland basketball makes a tournament, you know, doesn't mean that they're going to go that far. Like, you know, it can't be like, well, Gary's not around anymore, you know. But the Cavs Penn series have been really good, and I was actually very – so it's funny. I was kind of disappointed last night because Caps Penn's – their game started at 7:30, and the Jets and Preds played at 8. So, you know, you got to watch the first half hour of – of the Caps game, and then as periods were ending, I got to fill in here and there. But there are two series that I'm interested in. One, because I do kind of thoroughly enjoy the fact that the Caps are struggling, like always, and it just makes for funny television. So I hate that they're competing on the same night, especially at the same time. Now, fast forward, tomorrow night, the Caps are at 7:30 and Winnipeg and Nashville's at 9:30. That hurts me a little bit more. Dude, how the one thing about the two Western Conference series, right,
yeah,
are like the perfect matchups, right? The reason why I say this is in Winnipeg and Nashville, you have two of the better offensive teams, two of the better goalies. Both of them are fighting for the Vezina, right?
Rene's look terrible though.
He bounced back.
He struggled all postseason, though.
He's definitely, and Hellebuck gave up a couple goals that were kind of like, eh. But two of the more well-known good goalies this year, two very high-powered offenses. I mean, both of them, watching them play hockey, the past two games have just been on the edge, and not just because I have a dog in the fight.
Yeah.
It's also just been, I mean, just beautiful passes, beautiful shots, great saves, this and the other. And two amazing fan bases that have just made the buildings so loud.
Yeah, your boy Mariota was at the game, game two.
Yeah, Nashville's a loud fan base. Winnipeg's a loud fan base. Just amazing, right? And then you have the Golden Knights versus the Sharks, which is all about who has a better pregame presentation.
Jimmy Garoppolo was at the one game.
Yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo.
They're probably closer to that team's probably closer to San Jose than they are to actually the San Francisco with their stadium.
What team?
Niners.
Oh, okay. I was like, they're called the San Jose Sharks, Alex.
but the Niners, they play all the way out.
Well,
in Santa Barbara,
you know, you're not gonna go
40 miles away from San Francisco.
Yeah, I mean, I'm guessing, you know, it's kind of like here, right? Where, like, you're an Orioles fan, you're typically a Ravens fan. If you're a Nats fan, you're typically a Redskins fan, stuff like that. So, like, I would imagine California hockey teams are broken up by what teams they root for as well. It's just like being...
I know, man. It was a joke.
Yeah.
Because the stadium's so far away from the city.
Well, that's kind of just how California does things. It's the reason why they wanted to do the Los Angeles
Angels of Anaheim. Yeah.
It's stupid. It's just I get it though. I mean, you wanna, you know, because people in California, I'm sure, differentiate. But like, could you imagine like old Cap Center? Would you want to call it Prince George's? Would you want them to be the George's Prince George's County Caps?
Yeah, the
you
East know? Rutherford Jets and Giants.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, I can understand why they do that, and I can understand why. I did think it was funny. Jimmy G looked mad awkward in that opening, and he was fist pumping everybody. I don't know. So, comments on the Caps-Pen series.
You know, Ovechkin got the goal last night.
Yeah.
Big goal. It was the game winner.
Yep.
I mean, everybody's thinking they could turn the corner. This is the year they not only, A, finally beat the Penguins, but, B, get out of the second round. But I don't know. I mean,
out of the first round.
Yes. No, the second round. This is the second round.
Yeah. They haven't gotten out of it yet.
Yeah, I was just saying this could be the year they finally get out of the second round.
Oh, okay, okay.
I
thought you said this was the year.
It's like they could be 3-0. They had that 2-0 lead in the first game in the third period, and they blew it.
So what about the Tom Wilson hit?
Which one was that?
That was the one where right in front of the bench, shoulder to head, he left his feet, no penalty, no problem.
Oh, when he also ran into his own guy when he was getting on the bench? Was that it?
Yeah, where he hit him and he slammed into Kucherov.
Yeah.
That was to me, that's a penalty. You leave your feet.
You're launching.
You launched at him. you put a shoulder right into his head. So I mean, does that change the game? I don't know.
Well, I mean, well, the big controversy in that series is that goal in game two that was disallowed when it looks like it crossed the line, the Penguins.
Yeah. No, that was a goal. That was a goal, man. That was definitely a goal. That was, you can see the white. Like, that's, you know, it's like, the referees in the playoffs this year, especially in the NHL playoffs, have been doing an overall terrible job. There's been a lot of controversy. There was a goal in the overtime loss.
Yeah, the Knights that was called back?
No, this was the overtime loss for Winnipeg. It was in the third period. There was just a goal that they claimed didn't count.
Oh, yeah, it was goaltender interference.
Yeah, which is, in my opinion, hogwash.
Yeah, I still don't get the goaltender interference because, like, they're out of the crease and they're making contact with the players. Like, what? They're out of the crease.
I think that's like where I differ.
Because where's, like, the place where it's just like, okay, they're getting way too into the field of play.
You know, it's like, I understand if he was up in the crease and did that, but he wasn't. He was out of the crease. Like, yeah. That's my issue is, and maybe this comes from, I don't watch as much hockey as I used to because I feel like they've ruined it to an extent. I do love playoff hockey, but regular season hockey just really doesn't do it for me. I don't understand how that rule was supposed to work. To me, when they said goaltender interference and then gave him a penalty for it, I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, they give you penalties now for that.
Yeah, but I understand a penalty, but how was that goaltender interference?
Yeah, sometimes even call it when like a player is being pushed into the goalie. It's like, well, yeah, that's not their fault. That's the other team.
Yeah. Yeah, and last night, Hellebuck got pushed into and his neck got twisted in a weird way. And that was, he was in the crease. No call. You know, so I thought it is what it is. I think Winnipeg, you know, still has home ice advantage. They are, I mean, honestly, as a Winnipeg Jets fan, I would love for Winnipeg to win the next few games, walk off into the sunset, and we'll wait for either San Jose or the Golden Knights. I prefer seeing San Jose just because they're kind of like the Western Conference Capitals.
Yeah.
Back to their Owen Nolan days. Shout out to Owen Nolan. Had a hat trick in the All-Star game, but the goalies played really tough. You know?
Yeah. Great defense in those All-Star games.
Yeah. That's what I would like, but I mean, I honestly think the NHL needs this to be a 7-game series. Because this has just been the past two games, high scoring, high back and forth. Like it was awesome. Game two was just phenomenal. I was so upset that I had to go to sleep on it.
Another, that was the game winner that got called back from the Predators, right? Is that another game? No, that was the Knights game. Sorry.
Okay, yeah, I was like, I don't know. I watched the first overtime. I didn't watch the second overtime. I watched the highlights the next day. I was upset. I got to work in the morning, you know. So at the end of the day, I had to make an executive decision, and I made it. And I mean, we lost. So if there's a day to turn it off, it's when your team loses. But Winnipeg Nashville has been, in my opinion, the best series so far, and not just because I'm tied to it. I think Caps Penguins have probably been the second best, followed by San Jose,
in Vegas,
UGK, VGK, and then Tampa Bay and Boston. Which, and we'll go into San Jose and the Golden Knights. Yeah, game one, 7-0, Golden Knights, craziness.
Over by the first period.
Game two, the Sharks came back, won in double overtime.
That was the goal that got called back for the interference.
Yeah. So double overtime, they won 4-3. And then the Golden Knights won game three. They haven't played game three.
Yeah, they won game three in overtime.
They did. They won game three in overtime.
Monday, I believe.
And then they have game four tonight.
Yeah.
And then Tampa and Boston have game
two. They've only played one game, I think.
They have three games tonight. It's even, 1-1.
Oh, okay.
Let me just make sure. But I'm pretty sure it's even 1-1. I think Boston won game one and Tampa won game two.
Yeah, you're right. They split. Yeah.
Yeah. So Tampa and Boston, series tied. Vegas and San Jose. While we're here, since it airs tonight, Who do you got, San Jose or Vegas? And
Vegas. I'm still riding the Vegas train.
Okay. All right. Alex, I'm going to say San Jose is going to tie it. And Tampa Bay or Boston?
I'm going to go Tampa.
I'm going to go Tampa as well. So that's something that we can look forward to moving forward. Anything you want to say about San Jose and Vegas going? Well, my question, who has a better intro?
I don't know what, the Sharks, I don't remember much of their intro, just except Jimmy Garoppolo opened the door.
And they swim through the shark, yeah. And then their fans had those little, the light but show.
It's Vegas, man. They got all the big production value.
You know, some guy is going to go from Vegas Knights caveman dude to, Geico commercials one day. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, got to go with Vegas. Got to go with production value.
Yeah. I like the Sharks, man, because it was they got the fans more involved. They didn't have the Shark had the weird lights that Vegas had. Yeah. Was that a dig at Vegas, or is that just something the Sharks wanted to do?
Everybody kind of does weird light shows.
But not the weird light shows, which, dude, the shark swimming on the ice is hard body. I'm talking about, you know how, the Vegas Golden Knights, when they have the drummers, yeah, the drummers. They have those, Kanye yeah. glasses and the vests?
Great American Kanye, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So, yeah, I'm going to go San Jose on that one, honestly.
I got to go with Vegas.
All right. And
well, the thing with Vegas, I keep thinking of not just the impact that this expansion team that's actually has a shot at winning the cup. I'm thinking of how that's going to affect all pro sports, not with just thinking the Raiders going there, but just what that means for expansion teams.
So are you saying the fix is in? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm just...
Alex, let's get down to nitty gritty here.
I'm just talking about what that means for the future of expansion teams. If we're going to get, because of this immediate success, we're going to get more expansion teams in the future.
Well, I like to think Danny Heatley, when he was a Thrasher and he sacrificed his teammate, was setting up for what the Winnipeg Jets are doing right now. It was just all a plan. Because Danny Heatley's Canadian, right? Mm-hmm. So he knew.
Yeah. I got nothing to add to that.
You got nothing to add? Tampa Bay and Boston. What do you want to say about that series so far?
Let's see. Bruins pretty much handled the first game, and then Lightning handled the second game, right?
Yeah, let me see. So, yeah, you had game one, 6-2. Craziness. And then game two was 4-2. But it was a 3-2 game, and then they scored an empty netter.
I still got to go with the Lightning. But I think it's gonna be a tough series. Series. Bruins are really good too.
Yeah, it's. I think that one's gonna go pretty long, but I think it's gonna be a lot like the Pittsburgh Philly series, where the wins will be blowouts, but it will go back and forth. But I think Tampa. You know, Steve Yzerman goes straight back to my Michigan roots.
So Stevie, man.
No, actually, so I've never really had a favorite team until the Jets came into my life. Mm-hmm. The second go around, I was too young for the first go around. I remember them, but I wasn't yay, Jets. But a team that I kind of liked a little bit back in the day, because one of my favorite players was Marty St. Louis, I kind of liked the Lightning for a little bit.
Vinny LeCavalier.
It wasn't enough to be I'm a Lightning fan, but I liked Vinny LeCavalier. I liked... Marty St. Louis,
Nikolai Habibulin, the Bulin Wall.
Yeah. So, but again, you know, that wasn't enough for me to be yay, you know, but it was enough for me to be I like, you know, if they go places, but I'm not, I'm on the Jets, you know. Katie's on the Jets too. She's been Facebook statusing every night about the Jets. People have been ew. And I'm just oh, sorry, Caps fans. You know, I shout out to my Jets. And the NHL playoffs have just been great. So far, I really can't say anything negative about them. On to negative.
Yeah, NBA.
Woo. The Wizards. This is my problem with the Wizards. All right. Why? What was the point of winning the two at home to get me back into it? You know, I was like, oh, yeah. And then we dropped the next two. It's just,
I listened to a bit of the radio stations. Everyone says John Wall needs to go. Do you agree with that?
No.
That he's a guy, he's like a Westbrook. He's concerned with stats and not having the team go far.
I mean, here's the deal, right? Westbrook is way too much about stats. I think John Wall is about stats, but he makes players around him better. And I'm not saying Westbrook doesn't make players around him better, but Westbrook only makes players around him better when it benefits his stats, where John Wall makes – Marcin Gortat would be not even – no one would talk about him if it wasn't for John Wall. I don't think John Wall needs to go. I think Gortat and Beal need to go, and they need to build that team around Otto Porter and John Wall.
What about Scott Brooks?
No, I mean, I was against Scott Brooks hiring because they hired him to try and woo Kevin Durant, but Kevin Durant was the one who fired him. So I'm not a huge Scott Brooks fan, but who are we going to get that's better? Because I don't want to go back to the Randy Whitman, Doug Collins days. You know what I'm saying? Like, who else do we have? Oh, my God. Was it Eddie Jackson? No, not Eddie Jackson. What was his name? He was the... Oh, my God.
I don't remember.
Dude, don't make me do this. All right. So he was... he went on to be the head basketball coach of Rutgers. So you already know. And he wasn't the one throwing basketballs. Yeah, Eddie Jordan, I believe it is. Yeah, this guy. Eddie Jordan. Oh, no, that's the wrong Eddie Jordan. That's a white guy. This picture.
Who's he coaching now?
He's an assistant coach for the Hornets.
Okay.
He was not that good. As a coach, he was the head coach of the Wizards, then he went to the Sixers, then he went to Rutgers. He was just not, you know, so that's my question is, if you're going to get me to jump off of the Scott Brooks wagon, who are we bringing to the table? And
well, who's available?
Well, that's the other question. Jason Kidd?
He'll be a faking water bottle.
Yeah. Hey.
Injuries.
Yeah. So I the Wizards are, unfortunately, I wholeheartedly believe that their window has closed. I think they were able to hide the fact that John Wall and Bradley Beal don't get along well enough for a long enough time. But now that's out of the bag. Marcin Gortat, honestly, like, Marcin Gortat should have been sent away. The Jan Anemi whatever signing was terrible. They are who they are. They're a DC sports franchise. You know, they're just, as much as I want to love them, they break your heart. They break your heart. So, on to series that are happening right now. Toronto versus Cleveland. Toronto last night blew a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter. Went to overtime. The Cavs didn't get their first lead of the game until overtime when Kyle Korver hit a 3-point shot, and they won 113-112. Not really a shock to me.
No.
At least that's how I feel. Toronto, again, is the San Jose Sharks / Washington Capitals. I have Cleveland going on to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yep.
I don't see it being any different. That's just me. New Orleans and Golden State. New Orleans last night ended up dropping the second game to the Warriors, so now they are down 2-0. Shout out to the Pelicans, but this is where their road is going to end.
Yeah.
Steph Curry is back, so it's over. It's over. One thing before we get on to the Utah and Houston matchup. Carmelo Anthony was horrendous in that series. Paul George in the final game of that
series.
He's
the Ovechkin of the playoffs.
But no, but the difference is that Ovechkin still puts up numbers. Carmelo Anthony was absolutely horrendous. I mean, in the last game, I believe he only scored 7 points. In the last game, Paul George scored 5 points.
Oof.
And they lose to Utah. And Utah goes to face Houston. And in Utah going to face Houston, I believe that series is knotted up at 1-0. Not knotted up, but 1-0 right now. Yeah, it's 1-0. Rockets won on Sunday, 110-96. I still think Utah's going to pull it out, man. I do. I think the Thunder, if they would have made it, they would have found a way to pull it out. Houston is a bunch of losers.
Yeah.
As much as I love Chris Paul.
And you love Chris Paul.
I love me some Chris Paul. I'm a big fan of Chris Paul, but he's losers. A loser. He is. I hate you sometimes, man. Is he not a loser?
Yeah, I'm right.
He played Wake Forest. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, so did Tim Duncan.
Exactly.
Tim Duncan's a loser?
In college. Yeah, but that's because, you know, when he was going in college, his number one sport was swimming?
Tim Duncan?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Read a book, Alex. I mean, Sebastian.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what book LeVar Ball would read?
What? Oh, God. I hate you, dude. Stop it. All right? All right? I don't say things. I say things, but I don't think I'm as frequent as you make it seem. All right? You're a jerk. So, yeah, I'm going to go Jazz all the way on this one. I just don't believe in Houston. I don't believe in them. I just think they're like the Toronto Raptors, man. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it's going to, like I've said, it's going to be Cavs, Warriors probably in the finals.
So, but this would look like it's going to be Warriors and Jazz, and then it would be Cleveland. And who do you got, Boston or Philly? To my understanding, Boston is up 1-0.
Yeah, I'm going Boston.
All right. Well, I think it's going to be maybe Boston in a really close series.
Mm-hmm.
I think LeBron's going to Philly. I think it's almost written in stone, in my opinion, I think.
Well, it's on the billboard.
It's on the billboard. He doesn't want to go to the West Coast because he's shook, you know what I'm saying? And he doesn't want to go to a team that needs a lot of positions to be worked out. And Philly's like perfect. They trusted the process. They got a lot of cheaper talent because they're young guys. So they can afford to bring a LeBron on. Add the little veteran minimum contracts that LeBron always likes to bring in. I think he's going to Philly. And the only way I think he really would maybe be like, I don't know if I'm going to go to Philly, would be is that they get swept. I don't think they're going to get swept. I think they have a legit chance of beating Boston. I still think Boston will win, which is amazing because in the offseason, everybody thought Boston was gung-ho, easy Eastern Conference Finals. Possibly they could even oust what's his face? LeBron, mm-hmm. Right? But then you lose Gordon Hayward for the whole season. You lose Kyrie for the rest of the season. You know, there's just been a lot of crazy stuff going on with the Celtics, and now the Celtics are sitting there pretty. So the Celtics, shout out to them. Give them a lot of credit. Just kind of amazing. I think Brad Stevens could honestly be in the argument for Coach of the Year this year, solely just because of the injuries that he's dealt with. So we're talking Boston, Cleveland, which was last year. Should have been Boston. It should have been Cleveland, Washington last year, mm-hmm. But, you know, that's what the Wizards do. So Boston, Cleveland, and we're talking Golden State, Utah.
I still see Cavs, Warriors moving on.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think... I don't know, man. I'll tell you, if there's a team that's not going to make it to the finals this year, it will be Cleveland. Oladipo and the Pacers shouldn't have given them that much problems. So, but I agree. I think it will be Cleveland and Golden State. But if one of them drops out, I put my money on it being Cleveland instead of Golden State.
Looks unstoppable.
Oh, yeah, man. All right, Alex. We just reached the halfway point of the show. Two more sports to cover. I want to go huge into the draft, though, the NFL draft.
Didn't I say? I believe I predicted that Baker Mayfield was going to the Browns.
Yeah, maybe you did. I'm pretty surprised. And the only reason why I say I'm pretty surprised is my theory was last week that they should have taken Saquon Barkley, let the other teams make the mistakes, and them have less pressure and just get a quarterback. And then in Browns fashion, the Browns went back-to-back. And I wish Sebastian was here because he's the guy that I would really want to know. But I will tell you something. I got a LeBron James text about the Indiana game.
He didn't say anything during the draft?
Didn't say a word.
Wow.
Which makes me think he's disappointed. And here's why I think he should be disappointed and why I think Cleveland fans should be disappointed. Now, granted, if Baker Mayfield ends up being a good, solid franchise quarterback for 10 years, that's awesome. And then they get Denzel Ward, who's a shutdown corner. That's awesome as well. However, I personally think that they just Baker Mayfield, like, why not trade down, right? And then here's the other thing, right? So, okay, you take Baker Mayfield. Personally, I think that's a little crazy. I think he has potential to be a good quarterback, but he just doesn't have, you know, people were like, well, everybody dissed on Russell Wilson, and everybody dissed on Drew Brees, and look what happened with that. Okay, agreed, right? Mm-hmm. But look how many other, you know, Tyrod Taylor's not the most tall quarterback in the world, and I faked on Tyrod, and he's better than I thought he would be. But, like, would you, however many years into the year, I think Tyrod's probably been around for 6 to 8 years.
Right? Yeah, because he was on the Ravens when they won the Super Bowl, right? Who's their backup?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how would you say, if you look back now at Tyrod's career, and you took him number one overall, would you be happy or sad?
Dead.
Yeah. So I think, you know, and then with the Denzel Ward pick, why don't you trade back? You had, you know, Buffalo was trying to move up.
Mm-hmm.
You had options that you could have moved back and still got that player and move forward. So the 1-4 pick, I think, is ultimately a botch, just because I think, yes, you need a cornerback, but you can't take that cornerback at that spot. So you either got to move back or take a more. I mean, you take that cornerback, and now Denver's got, on paper, one of the more deadliest pass rush. You got Von Miller and Chubb on opposite sides of each other. That is amazing. That is a rough pass rush to go against. So that's kind of a shocker to me. Then you go to the Giants. They pick number Barkley. 2 overall. Yeah. They got Saquon Barkley. To me, in my opinion, you know, I hear a lot of people in New York upset that they got Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley would have been the number one overall pick in the draft if it was cool to draft running backs. Number one, right? That's the only reason why I didn't go number one, is because you got to go quarterback, right? That's what they say. And I don't personally believe in Sam Darnold. So because I don't personally believe in Sam Darnold, I think the Giants crushed that pick. I think they got, because there were so many quarterbacks and because it was all this talk behind it, they were put in a position where they had the number one overall pick in the draft, and they got that guy, and they didn't make a mistake. Okay, Eli's almost done. We should have went out and got a quarterback. Later in the draft, they went and got that dude from Richmond. Not saying that dude from Richmond is going to be the future, right? But they got a quarterback just in case, and they still got the. When's the last time you remember the Giants having a good running back?
Barber or Jacobs?
There was Barber, and after Barber left, Jacobs and Bradshaw were a tandem, and they did decent together. Brandon Jacobs, I always thought, should have been illegal because he was a linebacker in a running back's body. It was crazy. I think the Giants made a good decision on that. I really do. So then we're moving to let me just pull this up. What is happening? What is happening? There's music playing. What is he doing?
There's no music.
Yeah, there is. It's been playing that the whole time. Oh, my God. I need to. Oh, well, we muted. All right. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're
this
good.
Is a sports show, so we're going to go back to sports. So then the Jets fall into position 3, which apparently they really liked Baker Mayfield, and that's who they were going to go with. But Baker Mayfield's off the board. They go with Sam Darnold. Again, personally, myself, I would have went with a Josh Rosen, maybe a Josh Allen.
I thought the Jets picked up Darnold.
They did.
You said Broncos.
I meant the Jets.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry. Third overall, the Jets got Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
I personally probably would have won a Josh Rosen or a Josh Allen over a Sam Darnold. I do not believe in Sam Darnold. I do not. I know there's people out there that think that I'm tripping, but I just, if you look at it, he's got a lot of Jay Cutler and a lot of Jamarcus Russell in him. Then we talked about Denzel Ward. We talked about the Broncos getting Bradley Chubb, which was amazing. The Colts, solid pick. I know a lot of people probably wanted them to go for a bigger name, but when there's as many holes on the Colts as there is, you lock down that best player. That best player was Quentin Nelson. Quentin Nelson is a guard and will probably be a guard for a long time with the Indianapolis Colts. I don't have any beefs with that. I used to be of the kind of person that if we took a offensive lineman in the first round, I'd be mad. Then we went out and got Taylor Lewan, and we got Jack Conklin, and we bookend our offensive
Michigan,
line.
Michigan State.
Yeah. Which Taylor Lewan was beer bonging out of dead catfish the other night at the Nashville game. Jack Conklin has been great. I mean, he was an all pro his rookie year, you know? And that's we built our offensive line around those two guys. I have no issues with the Colts. The Colts are a long way away from being awesome. So they gotta take what they can get. That's when the Bills moved up. Who was at the 7 position? And they were at 12. Oh, the Buccaneers. The Bills moved up, got Josh Allen. All right, so now as we go further, right, we have Josh Rosen goes 10 overall to Arizona. Arizona, I believe, moved up from maybe the Raiders? I forget. Well, maybe I can look and see who it was. Nope, they don't do that. Nope, they don't do that. All right. So, yeah, he went 10. Minka Fitzpatrick, which I think is one of the steals of the draft so far, went 11 to the Dolphins. And, again, I don't think the Dolphins, in a kind of similar situation to the Colts, they're sitting there, we need a body, we need a starter, went out and got him. I thought he was a steal. I really liked both Tampa and Washington's pick. And I know it's crazy to say I liked Washington's pick, right? Because Washington is Washington, right? But Vita Vey going to the Buccaneers, compared to a Haloti Ngata type, they already have Gerald McCoy. That is going to be a ridiculous defensive line, a ridiculous situation on that end. I love that pick. the Redskins getting Daron Payne. Daron Payne is one of those guys that, here's my thoughts on Daron Payne. I love him, right? Now, the Titans going into the draft needed a pass rusher, and they needed an inside linebacker. So Daron Payne didn't fit what we needed, right? But if our guy at pass rusher or our guy at linebacker position were taken, that's the guy I want. That's the guy I want. So I think extremely highly of him. I thought Washington really got a great pick in that. Now, he went to Washington. His career is probably going to suck. But
be the next Albert Haynesworth.
Yeah. Marcus Davenport was talked about as one of the bigger reaches of the draft because he went to Texas El Paso, UTEP. Or no, UT San Antonio.
No, oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah. No, trust me, I thought it was El Paso until I saw it right here. I just, you know, to me, I don't know. Here's the other steal of the first round, in my opinion. Well, there's a couple other steals, and I want to go further into detail as we get further in this actual draft, because I want to talk about a couple teams and what I thought they did and how good I thought they did. Derwin James. Some people thought that he's better than Minkah Fitzpatrick, but Minkah Fitzpatrick has the bigger name. And this man slips to 17 to the Chargers. Now, the Chargers at the safety position for years and years and years had a guy by the name of Eric Weddle. Derwin James is going to be a good safety in the NFL. He's going to be a pretty good safety in the NFL, and I think he will be there. Well, he'll be there at least till his contract runs out, but he should be there for a long time because they should probably lock him up and keep him. Now, you know, barring injuries or anything like that. Leighton Vander Esch was considered one of those guys that was a reach. Boise State inside linebacker went 19 overall. You want to talk about your pick at number 20, Frank Ragnow?
Yeah, from Arkansas. I remember when I said last week, I was saying before they get a running back, they need to shore up that offensive line, and it looks like they're going to be moving Glasgow, who's the center now, to either right or left guard. And they're making this guy at the center, so or they're gonna might be do it the other way around, but that's what we need. And we picked up a running back from Auburn in the second round, so you know that's what we needed, and we did a good job.
I think so here's where I'm going to get into two teams that I'm gonna specifically talk about. One of them's gonna be my team. And one of them is the Baltimore Ravens.
Oh, yeah, we forgot to talk about that.
Well, we're just getting here, right? So they were originally slotted at 16. The Bills moved up to 16 and traded them the 22nd pick. Now, going into this draft, everybody and their mother knew that the Ravens are pretty set on defense. What they really need is a pass-catching tight end, hopefully a quarterback of the future, or a wide receiver, something to complement the offense. Maybe an offensive lineman, right? So everybody knew that pass-catching tight end was like their number one pick. Well, the pass-catching tight end, Hayden Hurst, was projected to go within the he was projected to go in the 22 to like 27 range. So this is what happens. They trade 16 to 22, stack some picks. The Titans decide to trade up to 22, and the Ravens move back to 25. Now, the Ravens did that because they were looking at, okay, well, we're at 22. We could take him here, but we could still take him at 25 as well because everybody else here doesn't want that person. So then they traded back to Titans. So they got all these additional picks. They get Hayden Hurst at 25 overall. Then they use those picks that they acquired, not all of them, but some of those picks that they acquired, to move back up at the end of the first round, because I'm pretty sure that if Lamar Jackson would have made it to the Cleveland Browns in the first pick of the second round, Lamar Jackson probably would have been drafted by Cleveland because he would have been a potential in case Baker Mayfield doesn't do good, or they could have tried to convert him to a wide receiver. So I think the Ravens had a great first round. A great first round. And then they went and went on to have so many other picks because they acquired all these picks. I thought they did a great job with that. So now let's move on to my Titans.
All right.
The Titans jumped from 25 to 22, right? The Steelers were trying to move up. And that's why the Titans moved up to 22 and they went and got the inside linebacker, Rashawn Evans, from Alabama. The reason why I love Rashawn Evans, he can get to the quarterback, he can defend the pass. Not the best at run stopping, but we already have a good run stopping defense. We need someone that can get to the quarterback, and we need a guy. We lost Avery Williamson to free agency. We need somebody that can cover. I love that pick, right? And we moved up. We moved up three spots to get him. Makes sense. In the second round, the Titans moved up 16 spots to get Harold Landry out of Boston College. Pass rusher. I love that decision. Now, the Titans at the end of the day only ended up with four players out of this draft, right? They ended up with an inside linebacker that can come in and start right away that we needed. They ended up with a first-round talent that had an injury problem his last year at Boston College, which made him slip. So, yes, if Harold Landry ends up having a terrible season or a terrible career and has injury problems, that's a gamble that didn't work out. But two glaring issues with the Titans, what they needed, and they went out and dressed them in their first two picks, and they traded up to get them, right? I love that. I think Harold Landry, as long as he stays healthy, will be a great addition to the Tennessee Titan defense. I think Rashawn Evans is a great addition to the Tennessee Titan defense. There are two other players. They picked up a safety, which we need depth at the safety position, and they picked up Luke Falk from Washington State, who's going to back up Marcus Mariota. I personally love the Tennessee Titans draft. I don't mind trading picks if you're going to get the guys that you need. And the thing is, everybody knows that the Tennessee Titans sucked for years and years and years. And in sucking for years and years and years, they acquired a lot of really low draft picks. And they have a lot of low draft picks on their team just waiting to burst now that Mike Mularkey's gone.
Trust the process.
Trust the process. I think there's a lot of talent on the Titans. They had a couple holes. They filled those holes in theory. I thought that was a great job. I think that you can argue that the Titans, the Ravens, a couple other teams, but good drafts. Good drafts by both of those teams. Again, you know, two glaring issues, attack them right away, and then make some depth in places that you need depth. You only end up with four picks, so there's a lot more pressure for those top two to succeed. But if those top two succeed, it's going to go down as a great draft. You know, you're looking at the draft, like the Ravens, I think, ended up with like 12 or 13 picks. Like, it's crazy. No, I'm sorry, that was the Packers. The Ravens ended up with like 8, 9, something like that. You know, they're looking for one of those guys. They're looking for Hayden Hurst to be a perennial Pro Bowler, right? Lamar Jackson to be the quarterback that can take the reins after Joe Flacco. And then they're hoping maybe one or two of those guys hit after that, right? The Titans put more stock in more quality over quantity. And hopefully, if Harold Landry doesn't run into injury issues, which he only had an injury issue 1 year in his career. Why are you smiling?
No, I didn't say anything.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm excited. I'm excited about the Titans draft.
How long do you think before the Ravens go to get rid of Flacco?
I hope he's gone at the end of this year. The cap hit is way too ridiculous this year to get rid of him. So he'll play another season.
What if he has another one of those years where he's just...
See, if we see Lamar Jackson at all next season...
Is Lamar Jackson like a guy that you think needs to sit a year or two?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I think every single quarterback in this draft needs to sit. The only one that I think is close to being ready is Rosen. I think everybody's hating on Rosen for what he said when he got drafted. That made me love Rosen even more, and that made me really believe in him and where these teams made mistakes. I don't trust Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold literally had a decent year. He had a really good year, but he had Juju Smith-Schuster and some other really good players around him. And then he had an excellent bowl game, right? And then last year he fell way off. He was still coasting off that year when he had Juju, when he had, you know. So, I mean, to me, I'm going. I think Lamar Jackson has potential. He needs to sit. He needs to learn how to play in the NFL. I think the Ravens should keep RG3 because Joe Flacco, one, is not going to be able to mentor Lamar Jackson the way. And Joe Flacco's not happy. He's not even speaking to the media right now. Which
he's too busy making those
babies
pancake commercials and water bottle
cans. Yeah, like so. I mean, yeah, it's to me, I think Lamar Jackson has a chance, but he needs to sit. So the only way I think we see Lamar Jackson this year is if the Ravens have a terrible, terrible season, we'll see him earlier than later, or if they're eliminated from playoff contention at a certain point. And the last couple weeks, just to get Lamar acclimated to the NFL, you have him come in for a little bit. Other than that, he should be on the bench all year. RG3 should be teaching him what not to do, i.e. don't sign up with Subway, i.e. learn how to throw the ball, which I think Lamar Jackson has a better arm than RG3 ever had.
Facts. Oh, yes.
I don't understand how Baker Mayfield, solely being a Big 12 quarterback, went number one overall. Haven't we learned that lesson? But I think Baker Mayfield has a chance. I think he has a chance. But I also think he's a guy that needed to sit. You know, I mean, would Aaron Rodgers be the guy?
He's not going to sit. They're going to throw him in the first game.
I know that's crazy. But would Aaron Rodgers be the guy that he is today if he didn't sit? Would he have even gotten the chance? He would have come out and sucked.
Yeah.
And then, you know. Yeah, I don't know. I think it's crazy. Anything else you want to say on the draft, Alex?
Nope, you pretty much covered everything.
DJ Moore from Maryland went to Carolina. Calvin Ridley went to Alabama. He went to Alabama, and then he went to... So you have Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley on the same team. I'm not a huge Calvin Ridley guy, to be honest. But yeah, so that's the draft. And then last but not least, we will talk about the... Major League Baseball.
You guys took 2 of 3 from us. You kept saying that we're going to sweep you, but...
You should have. You should have swept us. Let's be honest. All right, right?
Both our teams are trash. Did you go to the game?
No, I didn't go to any. Okay. I worked this past weekend.
All this time, you're ragging on me, and you don't even go.
Well, that was out of the question for me due to schedule. Mm-hmm. That's why I went in the week. I couldn't swing. I worked on Friday and I got off too late to actually go see the game on Friday. I worked Saturday and then I had wedding stuff to do on Sunday. So I honestly just was busy on the weekend. But let's be honest. The last game of the Tampa series, Chris Archer and Dylan Bundy. And Dylan Bundy gets rocked. And he's been our best pitcher. And you go, dang, we got Tillman on the mound against the Detroit tomorrow. It's over. Who knew that Tillman was going to throw 7 innings of one-hit ball?
It's the Tigers. Like, you need to look good.
But then you came back and spanked us the next day.
We run hot or cold. We either get shut out or get, like, 10 runs.
Yes or your no?
Yeah.
You're in and you're out.
Yeah.
It's up and it's down.
Is that a rap song?
It's a Katy Perry song.
Is it a rap song? Katy Perry dropping bars.
Yo, Katy Perry. Yeah. All right. I'm sorry. I digress. So, yeah, I mean, I mean, you don't expect Chris Tillman to win that game. You just don't.
Mm-hmm. You guys, we beat you guys the second game, 7-0.
Yeah, and that was Cashner, mm-hmm. which was crazy. And then after that was Gausman, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, the Dodgers, they lose Seager, Tommy John surgery for the year, shortstop. My question to you is, does LA go out and pursue Machado, even though
it looks like
it will be more of a rental?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing in baseball now. Even if you get him for a rental, I mean, do you still get him for the half of the season or whatever?
Well, this would be more than half of the season. So are you willing to pay? So the Dodgers are in a situation right now. They're under 500. They lost their star shortstop for the season.
Well, they're spend. So I see them doing it.
You know, well, here's the thing. This is why the only reason why I think that they might not do it is because I don't think that they feel like they can lock up Machado for the long term.
Maybe they're not looking for, like I said, maybe they're not. They're just looking him for half a season.
But the thing is, I think the Orioles are going to want more than just a rental trade, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Like, they're going to want some sort of king's ransom because they sat on their hands this whole time, and now when it comes time to actually get rid of him, you're going to get a lot less. But they're still going to be asking for everything, right? This is why I think the Orioles are terrible. They should have traded this man ages ago. I'm tired of saying it on this show. Mm-hmm. I wish Jimmy was here when he was like, well, they should go all in. 8-21. 8-21 is all in right now. That's them going all in.
That's awful.
All right. So why? And we've been getting decent pitching. 8-21. 8-21. Why? Why is he on our team right now? When I went to the game last week, did I tell you about this? When I went to a game last week, Adam Jones hit, Manny's on first. One out. Adam Jones hits this like line drive that hangs up just a little bit. Oh, he makes a
bad base running error.
Dude, he was like on third. Like, what are you doing?
Well, he's onto a big home run tear, isn't he?
It doesn't matter. Here's the deal.
Well, I'm saying that's a good selling point. Sell him while he's hot.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Like, if you're an Orioles fan, right? We see what this year is right now, right? We're not going to the playoffs. Even if we go on some crazy run, we're not going to the playoffs, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Vegas line now on the Orioles is 500-1 to win the AL East.
Ooh.
Yeah. All right. So we're not going to the playoffs, Alex. Why do you want Manny Machado on this team just hitting home runs for losses when we could get the future in here and bring, you know, I'm just, it enrages me. And I really don't think this Dodgers, I read this morning, actually it says it right here. O's Machado not in hurry to go separate ways because they're still figuring out their team is what they said. Oof. What is there to figure out? It's garbage. It's garbage. Adam Jones is not performing to the extent that we're used to him performing. Chris Davis is literally Bernie Madoff. Like, that's what he is. He strikes out 3 times a game. Absolutely asinine. Is Mark Trumbo coming back going to change things around for the Orioles? Are the Orioles going to go on a tear because they have Mark Trumbo?
Nope.
Not to mention, we got to start Pedro Alvarez at third because this baby at shortstop doesn't want to play a position where he's won golden gloves at. Get him off the team. Get him off the team because this is what sucks now, right? I loved Manny Machado for years and years and years. I have a Manny Machado jersey at my household, right?
You're going to bring
I don't like him anymore. Like, I don't. Why don't I like him? Because, and I'm not saying he's the reason we're losing, right? Because we're just trash Dookie all around. And he's the only bright spot with the bat. However, Stephen A.
All
right. This man, right, is Tim Beckham is a natural shortstop / second baseman. Jonathan Scope is a natural second baseman, right?
Yeah.
Manny Machado is a shortstop, but he's also played third, and he's played third at a stupid level, right? Why not? You're putting Tim Beckham on third base, which he can't handle. He can't handle it. And Manny stays at shortstop. And our defense is way down in the dumps this year because we're being held hostage by this guy. So, again, he's not the reason we're losing. He's actually the only reason why we're somewhat in games, right? But he is the reason why our defense is terrible because our infield is terrible. Get him off the team. I don't understand why Zach Britton is the Orioles' problem still. I don't understand. Well, I understand now he tore his Achilles. But before then, I don't understand why he's still our problem. I do not understand why Manny Machado is still our problem. Manny Machado is going to walk away, right? Mm-hmm. This is exactly what I was telling Jimmy. I said, Jimmy, we are going to suck for like 40 years if we don't get something in return, right? And this is what's happening. We suck with him on the team. So what do you think is going to happen in the future when we got to bring Santander, who doesn't belong on the field, and Santoria or whatever the heck his name is, Sardinas or whatever. He doesn't deserve to be on the field, right? Pedro Alvarez, who should be a DH, has to play third base, and he's Dookie. Like, he made a play the other day at third base, mind you, right? And this is the crazy thing. He went for the play. It hit in his glove. Right, and bounced out of his glove into his bare hand. It was complete luck. He even looked at it, was like, how did that happen? Everything else with that. Pedro Alvarez should not be in the field. There's a reason why Pedro Alvarez signs a minor league contract every year with the Orioles. It's ridiculous. I'm done. Like, I'm so frustrated with the organization. And I really think they're going to get one player and a draft pick or two out of this when they could have had a whole new infield. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just so fed up with the Orioles. And I understand that sitting in my seat when I was telling Jimmy this is what they should have done, he said there's no way to predict that that's happening, right? But things are coming true. This is the Orioles going all in. Now, granted, Alex Cobb isn't pitching to what they thought he would. But at the same time, they waited till a week before the season to sign him. He didn't have a spring training. He finally pitched a decent game last night, and they still lost. Why? Because they're not hitting. Oh, but Manny's hitting, and Manny's playing shortstop, and he makes good plays at shortstop. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Get Manny out of here, man. I'm getting tired of him. I'm getting tired of, he's made a couple errors this year on stupid little 360s because he wants to set his highlight reel up for next year. He's not running the bases properly. Like, get him out of here. He's not doing good. He's doing great, but he's not good for our team. Mm-hmm. He's a cancer this year because he's holding the whole damn situation hostage. Tim Beckham shouldn't be at third. He shouldn't. He should be a shortstop. Scope should be at second. Manny should be at third, but he's not going to go to third because he wants to. And that's why I don't think the Dodgers are going to get him, because he's being such a baby about the shortstop situation. They have a shortstop. So when that shortstop comes back and he goes, you play third, and then their offense goes to crap, what happens? It's ridiculous, man. I'm so tired of the Orioles. Like, I'm glad they're on the West Coast right now because it's an excuse not to watch them. Straight up. I'm so frustrated, man. Again, at the time that I said this, you know, it's like you don't know that what's going to happen. But do you see the Orioles?
I don't even see them getting 500.
What? 500?
You think I said I don't see them.
I know, but I don't think they're going to scratch like 5 games within 500. Like, what have you said? What? We've gotten good pitching, and we're still like, and Chris Davis just needs to be hung. All right? Mm-hmm. He needs to be used as an example to these other baseball players. You steal our money, you're dead. All right? This has been the Benchwarmers Redemption here on Dragon Digital Radio. I've been Matt Trudell.
Gold Dust fan Alex Baker.
Until next week, peace, stay safe, and remember to love yourself.